感谢主，我们今天早晨集中在耶利米书的一段道理。
So thank God, this morning I'd like to study with you a passage that's located in the book of Jeremiah.
那是记载在耶利米书十八章的，那神叫耶利米下到那摇匠的家里去。
It's a story
那段道理。
That's recorded in Jeremiah chapter 18, of which God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house.
啊，我们做一个信徒，在查考圣经的时候。
So being a member, so as we study the Bible,
那我们得知道它这个主题在这怎么样描写出来。
We need to understand the main thing that was portrayed.
啊，尤其有关神的话语。
Especially messages regarding God.
因为它涉及到那个历史跟当代历史。跟超越时空的一个普遍的真理。
Because when you read the truth, it has the historical past as well as the future meaning.
那我们不是只单在字眼上来了解。
Now we cannot merely dwell on the word and the meaning.
它有文字语言。
Because there's the meaning behind it and also the words.
还有它的文学。
And also the theology.
Literary.
A literary.
还有它的历史的层面。
And also the historical background.
再加上很重要的新旧约的神学道理。
So there's a theology that comes from the New and Old Testament behind it.
那我们假定结合这几个层面。
So once you can combine all these together.
那我们对这个文本，就是书里头所教训的这个话语。
And then you will, and once again, you look at the meaning of what it's trying to teach us.
然后我们就进到它的为何或它如何的把这个主题把它彰显出来。
Then we'll be able to enter into the main theme that the Bible is trying to tell us behind it.
那这个叫 context.
So that's the context.
那我们在 text 跟 context 检查当中呢？
So when examining between the word and the context,
我们是可以查验到神在历史上以及今天的旨意是什么。
You'll find out the word of God, whether it was from the past or today.
所以这段的经文对我们今天在灵修或者释放方面都有很大的帮助。
So this passage has a great help to us, whether it's spiritual training or spiritual faith.
用这样的了解。
When you can take such understanding.
那我们就进入到圣经里头，那神的话语的层面。
Then we have gone into the words of God.
所以单单查考这耶利米书十八章的有关这个摇匠家里这个动作。
So if you, today you merely study Jeremiah chapter 18, which is the story of the potter.
那我们应该把它串联在那个神的旨意。
We need to connect it.With the will of God.
那为什么有这样的象征的动作？
Now, why is it that such action was taken?
Symbolic
action was portrayed.
那这个象征动作，意思就是说，神叫先知在扮演或者说操演一个动作。
Because today God first asked this prophet to take on a role.
那他有他的，就是神的旨意隐藏在里头。
And God's will is right in it.
那他在做这动作当中，旁观的这些百姓。先知本身就可以察觉到神为什么叫他做这个动作。
So by doing so, the observer that can either be himself or the people will understand the truly meaning behind it.
那神的旨意就在其中了。
And there he will find the will of God.
那你要是查考圣经所关的有关的这个象征动作。
Now if you find all these symbolic actions that's recorded in the Bible.
前面一段大部分神叫先知扮演这个动作本身。
Now it composes the introduction which God will tell this prophet to be a certain being.
其中有他的戏剧性。
And then there will be the dramatic effect.
有他的动作跟他的含义。
His actions and its meaning behind it.
然后在第二段神就会出自己的出口来下评论。
And in the middle of the phrase, God will come out and critique.
所以叫 divine commentary. 那这样的神的评论就其实要彰显他的对百姓的要求。
From his commentary, you will find his expectation of the people.
那这样说来，我们再读来一段的象征动作。
So that being said, when we read the symbolic action,
我们都看到神叫百姓，然后叫先知，为什么来进入这个动作？
You will find out the reason why God will tell a group of people or the prophet to do a certain thing.
第二部分神就会昭示他的旨意了。
Secondly, then he will reveal his will behind.
那我们再从他这个单一的这个经文里头再看，比如说耶利米书，他的主旨是什么
？Now, if you take this certain passage and compare to the whole central thing of Jeremiah,
那再看他的时期是一个鲁放时期，就圣殿要被毁灭那个时期。
And then you look at the history of time being behind it, of which they were being ruled.
那么神给的意象。
And then the visions that God has given.
神的话语。
and his words.
或者叫先知所扮演的这个象征动作。
And this symbolic action that was given to Jeremiah.
就充满了有相当深沉的意义在里头。
Then you put everything together, you will have a deep meaning behind it.
不仅对当代百姓。
Not only to the people back then.
而且对今天的信徒。
And also to us today.
同样具有这样很重大的神学意义在里头。
It has a very deep and profound theological meaning.
所以用这样的了解，我们就来查验这个耶利米书18章。
So putting such things in perspective, let's study 18 of Jeremiah.
第一个，我们要分在四点来说。
First of all, I'd like to break them down into four points.
第一点，我们问说耶利米的中心体旨啊，中心的道理体旨在哪
？So first question I'd like to ask is you, what is the central point or theme of Jeremiah?
那第二段，那说神为什么叫先知下到到来那个窑匠的家里？
Second point is, why did God instruct Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house?
那当然，这里头就象征动作本身的一个描写。
Now, of course, you'll find a direct portrait of the symbolic action.
那第三点
，Thirdly,
神所加注的，所提出的这种他的评论、他的旨意的要求。
Now, you will find the critique and commentary of God and His expectations.
那这样的话，我们也可以看到神为什么讲这些话。
And then you'll find out what exactly was His reason behind it.
那到了第四点，到最后了。
Fourth and last,
我们就可以看这个信息对当代以色列民有什么重要的警戒或什么样的劝勉或什么样的督责。
We'll find out the important meanings or cautions behind it to the people of Israel.
而且对这像反过来说，对今天神的信息是什么
？And on the other hand, what is God's message to us today?
那我们当作神选民的一份子
，So being a chosen people of God,
我们就可以真的很切身的。体验到这句话或这段。
We can truly clearly understand what is the meaning behind this passage.
这段经文。
And the words.
所以这一段不但在我们灵修。
So these passages or context not only apply to
或在侍奉所要神的工作的方向。
Or in terms of our servitude towards God.
而且我们可以从神的话语知道他的历史旨在那个作为跟旨意。
So from the words of God, we can understand the history and His will behind it.
那我们可以得到很大的那个晨钟暮鼓的那个作用。
So by doing so, we can greatly be edified and inspired from it.
好，我们现在来看耶利米书是吧。
So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 18.
耶利米跟以西结都属于公元前第六世纪的先知。
So both Jeremiah and Ezekiel exist in 6 BC.
这两大先知啊，在这个以色列的先知传统上来说，是站着举足轻重的地位。
So these two major prophets has played a great role in the history of prophets in the kingdom of Israel.
他们的信息
，because the messages they brought
是有关当时以色列民族的信仰跟他们的国运息息相关的。
Has direct relationship with the future of the kingdom and how they were doing in terms of their faith.
Nation of Israel and the faith.
The nation of Israel and their faith.
好，那所以这样说来，我们可以看出说他的信息有当代的意义。
So that being said, we could see a certain importance.
所以不管是耶利米和以西结
，So whether it's Ezekiel or Jeremiah,
他们所处的时代
，the time they were in,
都有一个共通性。
They have one similarity.
就是说，已经到了最后的末代王朝。
It's because they both existed at the end before the kingdom was destroyed.
意思就是说，已经到了列王记下24章、25章那个当的时候。
So it's right about at the end of 2 Kings chapter 25 and 26.
24、25.
20 to 25.
那这样说来，我们可以看到它信息就是面对的时代的挑战。
So that being said, they direct their message towards the challenge of the society.
百姓应该怎么有什么的反应？
And how the people shall react.
那假定说该来的就来。
For example, what is to come will come.
那就是神所要预定的神的审判。
And what is to come is the judgment of God.
对罪民的一个刑罚。
And the punishment towards the sinful people.
但神不愿意看到他的百姓的沉沦。
However, God did not want to see their people fail.
所以在他们信息这审判的这个信息之外，还有一个很重要的神慈爱的拯救。
That's why apart from the judgmental message, there's also the delivery and salvation of God.
所以这样说来，你看到公义审判跟神的慈爱拯救。
So that being said, you see the righteous judgment and His merciful salvation.
成为我们在查考旧约圣经神的救赎的最重要的两端。
Has become the two ends of our salvation, of our study towards the salvation of God in the Old Testament.
那这样说来，神的信息我们在先知书里可以发现这两方向。
So that being said, within the book of prophets, you will find these two ends in it.
一方面一定是因为百姓的犯罪。
One end is because the people have sinned against God.
那神就倾倒他的烈怒。
Therefore, God will pour out His wrath.
然后就处罚他的百姓。
And the people will be punished.
那当然这是神的咒诅。
And of course, this is a curse of him.
被记载在《生命记》很清楚的。
Because it's clearly recorded in the Bible.
那另外在百姓经过一番苦难以后，
And after the people have suffered,
那他们在宗教情操跟宗教意识上操练以后，
After they've been trained religiously in terms of their faith,
那他们有个觉醒， 就所谓的宗教的觉醒。
So they made a religious awakening.
那在圣经里头很重要， 叫做回归， 回头， 转向， 归向神， 这个动作。
So that's why they have turned back and returned.
所以这个是他们的反悔，或者他们的回归到神，很重要一个关键。
So this is a key concept and key point as they have repented, returned to the face of God.
所以说神就施出他大能的膀臂来拯救他们，来救助他们。
Then God stretched out His arm of mercy to save them.
那所以说我们从耶利米和以西结这个中心信息。
So from this central thing that's shared between Jeremiah and Ezekiel, something that will show up continuously. So whenever the people, whether it's back then or today, read upon this warning of God, So in terms of their relationship or the requirement of God, they could once again ponder and re-examine themselves.
所以经过悔改回归以后，他们才复兴了。So
after have returned and repented, they have revived the nation.
才有圣殿的重建，信仰的复兴。Then
there was the reconstruction of the temple and their faith.
这个也是我们从旧约所学到的。So
this is what the Old Testament history has
taught us. 那么现在就来看耶利米书18章。
Now let's study Jeremiah chapter 18.
这个是一个很重要的象征动作。
Now this is a very important symbolic action.
意思就是说神嘱咐或嘱吩咐这个先知做一个动作。
So what that means is God has instructed the prophet and the people to do something.
那这个动作本身有代表的意义或者象征性的意义。
What that action has is a symbolic meaning.
所以说你看动作来查验它深藏注定那个。
That's why we look at the action itself and find out what is symbolic and meaning behind it.
那在圣经里头有不少的， 尤其在先知书里头有不少的那象征动作。
Now in the Bible, there are many symbolic meanings that's recorded, especially in the book of Proverbs.
我们可以举几个例子。
For example,
我们先来看那个以西结书的第四和第五章啦。
Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 4 or 5.
那第四章有关围城， 就是说巴比伦军队要来攻打那个耶路撒冷圣城。
And chapter 4 talks about how the city of Jerusalem was sieged by the Babylonians.
那在这个攻打还没有发生以前， 神就叫以西结先知来做一个动作。
Now before this war took place, God instructed Ezekiel to do an action.
叫他在砖头上头画城墙，画那个耶路撒冷圣城。
He said to draw the walls of Jerusalem on top of a brick.
然后叫他拿着这个铁锤。
And to take a hammer,
当着撞锤这样的来撞打这个城门口，
and to hit it against the walls of the city,
而且围困在圣城的周围，
and to surround these around the city.
那他要躺在砖头的左边、右边若干的时日的，
and he will lie on either side of the brick for about 10 days.
那表示说，这巴比伦军队将来要来围困这个城。
That itself symbolizes that one day the city will be sieged.
那他的这个举动也表示将来巴比伦军队要用大铁锤来撞破这个城门。
And the action of him hitting against the brick symbolizes one day the walls of the city will be broken down.
那就在这个时候神就叫先知，那你要配粮，就分配粮食，配给，因为当时没有粮食了，就要配给。
They God instructed him to pass out the food.
然后呢，他要用牛粪或者人粪当做肥料来烧，烤面包。
Now he's to use the waste of man or animals and to cook it as bread.
这对以色列民来讲，对祭司、对圣洁民族来讲是不可能做的事情，一个污秽的作为。So
to the holy nation, especially priests, it is something unacceptable and they will never do.
但是敌人围攻了，哪有圣洁的那个作为可言呢？
But when they're under siege and attacked by the enemies, such things are nowhere to be found.
而且呢，先知神叫他说拿着碗镜，战战兢兢地喝着，要随时看着，好像马上要逃命的感觉。
And he also instructed them to hold on to your bow and be very, very watchful, for you should be fleeing.
所以先知做这些动作，百姓看在眼里头。
So all these symbolic actions the prophet was doing was observed by the people.
所以圣经就说，好做以色列家的预兆。
So the Bible says it will serve as a warning and a sign for the house of Israel.
那第五章，那先知，神就叫先知以利亚，以利这个以西结，
Then in chapter 5, again, God instructed Ezekiel.
本来做祭司的，他不刮胡须的，他不理的。
Now, originally being a priest, he does not shave.
但是神叫他刮，就是刮除他的头发跟胡须。
Now, in chapter 5, God told him to shave his hair and his beard.
这也是对祭司家庭的一个挑战，一个羞辱，但他一定要做。
Shameful things and a challenge for the house.
然后叫他剃下来的头发跟胡须切成三部分。
And told him that whatever hair you have gathered, cut them into three pieces.
一部分在城中里头用刀来砍碎。
One of the segments, you chop them up into pieces in the middle of the city.
那第二部分在城中用火来焚烧。
And you would burn the second segment in the middle of the city.
那第三部分就拿在手中来任风来吹散的飘。
And the last of the remaining, you will hold in your hand and let it be blown away by the wind.
这个就是有关巴比伦军队来围攻圣城，攻陷圣城的时候。
What that symbolizes is how the Babylonians will come and take over the city.
有部分人被刀屠杀。
Which means some will be killed by the sword.
有些人被火焚烧。
Some will be burned to death.
有些人是流离四散。
Where others will scatter all over the earth.
已经是亡国了。
Because the kingdom has been destroyed.
城墙陷落了。
They have been captured.
从此以后再没有政权了。
There will be no more anarchy, democracy.
Sovereignty. 他们再没有这种圣殿的崇拜了。
Because they no longer have a temple to worship.
所以这是一个很悲惨的一个下场。
So it is a very, very pitiful.
那为什么神叫先知以西结扮演这些动作？
So why did God tell Ezekiel to do such a symbolic action?
就是含着一个时代的信息。
Because it has a history meaning behind it.
比如说神要利用外国的强大的军队。
Because God will utilize the foreign powers.
当作神愤怒的拐杖，愤怒的这个恼恨的杖，来击打他自己百姓。
And to utilize these foreign nations as wrath of God to hit against his own people.
这是令人战栗不已的，这非常心惊胆战的。
So this is something that will cause a tremendous fear.
所以这个象征动作。
So such a symbolic action.
就会警戒百姓。
Will bring warnings to the people.
将要到的是假定不再悔改，不再回头。
Which to tell them that you will be punished unless you return.
刚才所扮演的这些动作就会发生了。 And
then if you don't return, then whatever I have just done will happen one day.
从那代表性的、象征性的那个意义变成实质上的一个动作。
From a symbolic which represents something which will later on become reality.
用这样的了解，我们也可以看到以赛亚书或者是耶利米书很多的先知的这象征的动作。
Of such concept, you will find such in symbolic action recorded in Isaiah and Jeremiah.
跟他们以色列家的那个信仰。 和他们的国运相系在一起。
So all these has a very close relationship with how the kingdom was doing.
那说到这个以后，我们就看耶利米书也很多的象征动作，其中的一个第十八章。
So of course, chapter 18 of Jeremiah is also one of many symbolic actions that's recorded in the book.
从一节到第四节那里。
Starting from verse 1 to 4.
很简短的在描写。
In a very short description, how Jeremiah and how he followed the commandments of God, he went down to this potter's house. So in verse 3, it's his observance of how this potter was playing with the clay.
你注意看第三节底下,
That's read verse 3 carefully.
窑匠家里头，这个窑匠做转轮，这个转轮做器皿。
So right here, he was observing him making something at the wheels.
我们只看这个装轮，不知道有几个轮子。
So if you look at the Chinese, it doesn't tell you.
但这转轮在希伯来文是用双数，双数就是两个眼睛、两个手、两个的数目。
So in original Hebrew, it actually has a context of two wheels.
听说 I'm 的音了，比如说嘛，那么哈奈，这就双两个军队啊。 一答应就两个手，那只要说一个字，你就知道是两个数目啊，一个两个的这样的数目。
Which original word Hanya or Idaya, which means two wheels or two hands.
Mahanian，所以说这个都是一看就知道，哦，是两个轮子，一个上一个下，一个轴子，一个轴，它撑着，它就在做，转着，在捏，然后再塑造这个器皿。
So as soon as you read this, you will know that it's actually a machine composed of a rod in the middle and two wheels up and down. And this is a tool that the potter uses to make a clay.
这种动作就是有一个就是他看到器皿不成器，就把它捏碎了。 再重新捏的粘土再凝作一团。
So one of the important action he observed was as soon as this potter was not pleased with the clay, he will destroy it and make another one.
所以这是个破坏性的动作。
So this is a destructive action.
就是说他的手可以捏土，而且不要把它弃绝。
Which means the hands of the potter has sole power to destroy and make something.
那第二个动作，他在重新捏土的时候，看是好，好就好了。
So second action he observed was when the potter was pleased with the clay, he will keep it.
看怎么好就怎么好。
Whatever he sees is good, it's good.
就是他认为已经可以成立了，可以建立起来了，可以成型了。
Because to the potter, this clay is good to become a good vessel.
所以单一的动作里头已经有耶利米先知里头很重要的两端的那个教训。
So as simple as these two actions, you will find these two great teachings within it.
我们先来看耶利米先知被神呼召的时候，他所被付托的使命。
So let's recall when Jeremiah first was called by the God, what was entrusted to him?
大概在公元前627到626年，他被神的呼召。
So Jeremiah was called by the Lord about 627 BC.
那他就要成为不但是以色列人，而且是列邦的先知。
Not only was he called to be a prophet of Israel, he was also a prophet of the foreigners.
那当然他会推辞一番。
And of course, he rejected in the beginning.
他说我是年轻了。
He said, I'm a little too young.
但神跟他保证说，我跟你同在，我祝福给你，我给你口。
Yet the Lord promising that I will be with you and give you the words of wisdom.
那时候你就去吧。把当我说的话传给你，你传给以色列民，传给外邦。
So just go and proclaim the words I will tell you.
那请请看第十节。
So that's reverse 10.
这耶利米书一章的十节。
Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10.
说看了我今日立你在列邦列国之上，为了做什么呢？为了施行拔出拆毁毁坏倾覆，就是破坏的动作。
So right here, all this being said, you can see the action of destroy and destruction.
他用拆拔出 uproot, 就是拔出来。
To root out and pull down.
然后拆毁 demolish, 然后再毁坏 destroy, 整个这个都是坏的动作。
And throw down all these were actions of destroying of something.
这已经在指示神可以摧毁他所要建立的。
Which is to symbolize that God has the power to destroy anything.
甚至神可以丢弃他所拣选的立约的百姓。
Even he has the power to forsake these people he has made covenant with.
这是一个罪刑罚，神公义审判的这个一个信息。
Now this is a message that you can find from the direct and righteous judgment of God.
就是针对神的百姓的罪，神就施行他公义的审判。
Which is to the people which sin against him, he will
那最后的这个百姓、国家或者崇拜的这样的代表性的圣殿或者摩西五经的规模就被拔出倾覆。
So this temple which symbolizes the servitude towards God will one day be uprooted, obliterated.
那另外呢，我们再看，你看神又要做一个，又要建立斋职，你去传这个神的拯救的信息。
And another thing that was given to him is to ask him to build and to plant.
那这一段的圣经。
So this particular passage
就是等于耶利米书的主题
became the central theme of Jeremiah.
他到列邦去
when he goes to the foreign land,
就表示说神要施行他公义的审判
which after God has put out his judgment,
因为你们罪恶深沉
for you have been so evil,
就是罪恶滔天啊
your sin has so much,
神要拯救，神要拯救
because God wants to save you,
因为他本身是神，这个守约施慈爱的神
for he kept his covenant, he's also merciful.
只要百姓回转他要施行拯救。
As long as people repent and turn around, his mercy is
revived. 所以要建立斋职。
That's why he needs to plan and build.
那以后呢，你就从耶利米书可以看到这种信息不断的出现。
Now such message can be observed throughout Jeremiah.
第一章
，Chapter One.
等一下我们看这个十八章的主题。
And if you look at the central thing of Chapter 18,
四章
，Chapter 20,
甚至三到最后三到三十一章
，or even at the end till 31.
大概六七次，这个经文在重复说神要一这耶利米先知传达的。
There was about six or seven times that God wanted Jeremiah to alliterate this message.
那么十八章，就可以看到。
Now turn back to verse 18, you will find out.
这个摇匠的动作本身已经含着，不但一方面是粉碎。
Now these actions of potter not only does it carry the meaning of destruction.
那一方面又要重新捏造，让它成为一个成器。
And also at the other hand, you will remake them into a vessel.
所以这个动作已经在不言而喻之中了。
So
unspoken.
unspokenly it was being carried out.
所以他就不能不说。那但是神马上就在我们看底下第五节。
Then verse 5 God.
这是神的评论。
Now this is the commentary of God.
因为神你看你很多的象征动作一定有他要插入来讲解他的旨意。
So many times after God gives a symbolic action, he will follow by his commentary.
我们举一个例子。
For example,
比如说在以西结书三十七章那里
，In Ezekiel chapter 37，
第一段是描写神叫以西结先知看到平原上充满了这个死骨头。
Originally, he asked Ezekiel to look out into the field. It's filled with dry bones.
那就问说，人子啊，这些骸骨能复活吗
？Then he asked him, Son of man, can these bones be revived?
那人子这位以西结说，主啊，你是知道的。
And then he said, Son of man, Lord, you know it.
那神就说好吧，你向这些骨头来发预言。
Then the Lord says, prophesy to these bones.
那发预言意思就是说先知讲话是传达神信息，你向他说就传达神的旨意。
What that means is, you will speak to these bones what I will tell you.
那最后就有这个风从四方而来。
Then what follows is wind starts blowing from four corners.
当然风也代表神的气息。
And of course, wind can represent the breath of God.
也代表神的圣灵。
And also His Holy Spirit.
吹到这些已经骸骨、死骨又死又死白又干枯的这个平原上的遍满的这样的骸骨的里头。
So when this wind blows onto this field, it's filled with dry bones which has been dry for many many years.
一份那种苍凉、一种无望的那种感觉。
Now it gives you this sense of desolation. And
但神叫先知传达他的信息。
Now God commanded the prophet to preach his word.
而且这样吩咐的从四方八面的这个风气息吹入到这四骨头里头去。
And to command all these winds from four corners of the earth to blow into these fields.
那果然就说骨头就长上这种筋长上肉了。
Long before these bones started to have veins and muscles.
然后筋骨了，犀牛了。
And all the joints.
还有这样以后就皮了。
And then the skin.
就站起来了。
And then he stood up.
就成为神的军队。
Finally became the army of God.
那这样的一个象征动作，以后马上跟着在大概十一节那。
Such a symbolic action immediately followed commentary.
那神就说：“你看啊，这些骸骨就是以色列家。”
He said, "Then these are the whole household of Israel."
因为他们已经被掳放，流落四方。
For they have been captured.
他们认为民族生机已经断绝。
Because they think they have lost their nations.
他们认为自己已经进入到黑暗的这种恐怖的那坟墓里头。
Because they thought they have entered into this dreadful and scary doom.
然后我就神说，我定义把他们从黑暗的坟墓里头引出来。
And so it is my will to pull them out of this dark doom.
带领他们回到他们的故土。
To guide them onto the right path.
就是让他们再建立。
So they can be reestablished.
重建圣殿。
To reconstruct the temple.
复兴信仰。
And to revive their faith.
这当然就进入到我们圣经所说的和历史所说的那第二圣殿的时期了。
So of course, by now we have entered into the second stage of
the rebuild center, not rebuild temple.
The rebuild reconstruction of the temple.
我们通常叫第二圣殿时期。
So we call this the second phase of the temple.
Second temple.
那这个
一直到主耶稣的时代为止。
And it lasts all the way till the time of Jesus.
罗马变得毁灭的七十年代。
And it's been destroyed for about 70 years.
70. 好，这样说了，我们可以看神的解释。
So that being said, you will see the commentary of God.
跟先知看的异象。
And the visions as viewed by the prophet.
以西结看的异象。
And whatever Ezekiel saw,
或者先知以耶利米所扮演的戏剧性的动作
，all this symbolic action, Jeremiah
都有神的旨意的昭告
，all these has God's will and calling.
那么我们回到耶利米书看十八章，神怎么说
？So let's turn back to Jeremiah chapter 18 and see what God said.
从这个捏土成为新团成为器皿这个动作，神就做这样的注解。
So from this action of making the clay into a good vessel, God made such commentary.
那这一段也变成在旧约圣经里头很重要的一段，有关神的旨意跟人的作为。
So such statement also become a very important message in the Old Testament, which shows the will of God and the deeds of man.
你读这一章的耶利米十八章，要跟以西结十八章连接在一起。
Now when you reach up to 18 of Jeremiah, you have to connect it with the 18 of Ezekiel.
因为这章神的旨意是针对着列邦。
Because within this message, God dwelt his point to the foreigners.
那在以西结十八章，神针对的每一个个人。
And Ezekiel chapter 18, it was directly towards individuals.
不管国家也好, 或者是个人也好,
so today, whether we're speaking as a nation or individually,
对神要命定要栽植建立的那个爱的表现,
within it, we'll still find the essence of rebuild and love of God.
或神大能拯救的这样的历史的昭告,
and His power of salvation.
但是同时呢, 神也会 倾倒出，而且会施展出他的公义。
But at the same time, He will pour out His judgment and His righteousness.
他就会因为罪关系来刑罚。
Because for the sake of sin, you will be punished.
这个列邦如此。
And the foreign nations is no different.
以色列犹大国，以后从前以色列，今天的犹大国也是如此。
So the same thing happened to the king of Judah, and the same thing will happen to Israel.
先以色列，140年前毁灭了。
It was destroyed 140 years before.
独存幸存的犹大也不幸也被毁灭。
And whatever was left behind, which was the kingdom of Judah, later was destroyed as well.
这是神的倾覆啊。
So,
拔出啊。
That's how God has obliterated.
那这样的话，我们在思考神在普天下列邦诸国当中他的绝对自主权。
So we can see the sovereign power of God that's ruling in all nations.
那在以西结18章那。
In Ezekiel chapter 18,
这个变国家或者列邦变成个人。
Now this kingdom or nations has been transformed into individuals.
那每一个个人，神要建立栽植。
Now God will rebuild and plant every individual.
神拣选门徒，或者安立在使徒。
Just like how God has chosen, Jesus has chosen the disciples.
今天他从各族各方各民各国来呼召他的百姓跪在他的名下。
Now today He has called everyone to come to His name from all nations around the world.
主宝血把洗净。
That everyone was washed away by His blood.
称为神的儿女。
To be called His children.
这是他的建立，他的栽植，他的招聚。
Now this is His own calling, planting, and rebuilding.
但是同时也可以注意到。
But at the same time, we must focus.
不管是属这地面上的王国。
Whether this nation belongs to the earth.
或者属灵的信仰团体。
Or just passing out a spiritual faith.
虽然主耶稣选召,
even though Jesus has
成为一个属灵圣灵的国度,
he become a spiritual nation.
但是神的公义原则还在那。
But his righteousness and his principle will still be there.
就是说你要不尽心尽性尽意尽力爱主你的神。
But our principle is thou you love him with all your heart, mind, and soul.
你要是不这样的认真的谨守我的律例典章诫命。
Thou you keep my commandments with all your totality.
那我的恩惠，这个恩典的护照。
Then my grace and my blessings and my call to you.
那本来要建立的栽植的。
Now originally it was planned to rebuild and plant.
也就因为神的公义，因为人的罪，神不得不施行他的审判。
Now because you have sinned and my righteousness, I will be forced to force upon my punishment.
所以就迁出了，就拔出了。
And I have obliterated and uprooted.
拆毁了。
To destroy.
再看犹大。
Now look at Judas.
本来就是加略人犹大。
The disciple of Jesus, Judas.
Iscariot.
Iscariot.
他呢？ 丢弃自己的这个殊荣，这个使徒的殊荣。
Now he has forsaken his privilege of being an apostle.
自己硬着心奔往这个灭亡的道路去。
Now he was stubborn and he went on this path of destruction.
所以神本来预定要栽植建立他，甚至迎接他到荣耀的天国。
So originally it was planned for Jesus to plant and rebuild him and receiving into kingdom of God.
但是他自己认为不屑，罪恶迷心。But
he was deceived by sin and he was
硬心到底。
He was stubborn till the end.
不肯悔改。
Refuses to
就奔往自己灭亡的道路。
Then he paved his own path.
这是个人啊，这是个人。
Now this is the individual.
那这是以西结书的主题啊。
Now this is the theme of Ezekiel.
那以西结在说个人当中。
So in the book of Ezekiel, when he talks about individuals,
他也提到说恶人，神不喜悦他们灭亡的。
It talks about how the evils will be destroyed by God.
只要恶人从他们在一生在中途能够弃恶从善。
But the evils doers on the middle path, they could turn back.
那么在他们弃恶从善变成善的那个日子，神就要拯救他们。
So the day when they return from evil to good is also the day of deliverance of God.
反过来说，义人。
On the other hand, the righteous.
他们中途就说行。 这百里行百里者半九十，就是一半到九十都会放弃的那些人。
Now those who gave up halfway before they reach the goal.
那很可惜，他们像一生所有的积善，然后说那他们的这样的储蓄他们的德性。
And sadly and unfortunately, all these they have accumulated throughout the whole life.
但是就因为他们那天行恶。
It's because the evil deeds they have done.
那神就不纪念他们从前所行的善。
God will not remember what they have done before.
那神就放弃他们。
and they will be forsaken.
拆毁他们,
be destroyed.
所以这样的话, 就有一个神不喜欢恶人的死亡。
So that being said, God does not want any evil.
神也不喜欢, 那个义人来离弃正道。
He also does not want any righteous to forsake the truth.
万一人硬着心, 来顽梗对抗的神的旨意。
So if a man is stubborn and fight against the will of God,
我们通常用英文叫 apostasy, 这种背道, 那神很难，他是不得不下他公义的审判。
So if one opposes the truth of God, God will be forced upon to utilize his punishment and wrath.
那所以说，这个信息就很清楚。
So the message was clear.
本来神预定要栽植的，要祝福的百姓。
So originally God planned to rebuild and plant His people.
那国家来讲，以色列。
And the whole nation speaking is the king of Israel.
或者犹大,
or Judas.
但因为他们犯了双重的罪恶,
but because they have sinned against God greatly.
第一个方面就是有宗教上的亵渎神的罪。
The first thing they have committed is blasphemy against God.
那第二个就是因为他们在良心道德社会行为上的亏欠。
Secondly is they have fallen short of their moral standards.
比如说虚谎,
which means hypocrites, laziness,
或者说欺诈。
Or,
或者是压榨,
or to force upon the weak.
那这样说来，那他们就行了。这个以赛亚书、耶和西亚书、弥迦书，很多先知里所斥责的那种社会的不公义。
So by doing so, they have trespassed against what many of the prophet has said in Isaiah.
就是神的公义，也要人秉公行。
Then God's judgment and His righteousness will be born.
神是圣洁的, 也要他的百姓, 要成圣。
Because God is holy, therefore He requires the same from His people.
那他们跟列邦有分别。
Because there is a difference between them and other nations.
所以他们要归神为圣。
Therefore, they must observe God as holy.
而且跟世界有别。
And be separated from the world.
但是百姓犯了这样的很大的毛病。
So that's what the people have failed to do.
但当然这个篇章很多。
Of course, you will find many recordings of
this. 这是神的殿,
such recording by saying, for example, you call this is the temple of God.
但是神说,
yet the Lord will say, you need to change your actions.
或者是出埃及记20章,
now you have just committed all these laws and regulations that's recorded in Deuteronomy and Exodus.
就说十条诫命,
the Ten Commandments.
那所以说本来是神的圣殿。
Because originally this is the holy temple of God. It was mistaken by others that it's a place of sanctuary. But no one expected that the Babylonians came. And they still thought they were free and safe. Surprisingly, they took the place of God as a house of thief.
那这样说来, 就变成名不副实。
So that being said, they have turned away upside down the truth. So they thought by having this faith of religion, they have everything.
有了圣殿,
they thought by obtaining the Bible and the Holy Temple, they have gained the world.
而且一个错误的虚幻的一个假象。
So this is a wrong misconcept.
不知道说外界已经这么危急，还在里头以为很平安。
One misconcept they had was because the danger was coming, they were still at peace.
而且呢，他们的行径不合神的旨意。
And on top of that, their actions were not in accordance with the will of God.
所以耶利米先知就在那个耶利米书第七章那里。
That's why Jeremiah in chapter 7.
那他数算百姓在良心道德上的，在神的律法上所犯的罪恶。
In chapter 7, you'll find how he counts how many sins he has committed in terms of their moral against God.
这个真的震撼人心，为什么呢？
So it really strikes our heart. And why is that?
因为有很多人就迷惑，就有迷失，有迷惘。
Because a lot of us has lost ourselves.
以为说来聚会,
because we think by coming
来祷告,
to church,
说几句跟神交通的你听不懂的话,
when we pray in tongues speaking unknown language,
那就说好像安息日的圣徒一样,
we feel like we're observing the truth.
但是神看的是内心。
But what God looks at is your heart.
就像沙漠记上16章7节说, 神看人看外貌, 神看内心,
just like
不看动作。
First Samuel chapter 7, God looks at your heart rather than your deeds.
那这样说来, 那神教以西结或是耶利米的先知的信息。
So this is the message that God portrayed through Jeremiah.
归到一个原点。
Go back to the origin.
依旧说以色列民为什么被毁灭。
What is the reason why the people of Israel was destroyed?
不是神的契约百姓吗?
Weren't they the covenant people?
他们认为是天之骄子。
Because they think they're the people of the world.
啊，是的，真的选民。
They were the true chosen ones.
但是没有想到，神竟然弃绝他们。
But out of their expectations, they were forsaken by God.
这个叫做很大的反讽。
So that itself is a
great irony.
A great irony.
啊，这是想不通，但是就在那里啊，也是很大的讽刺的。
It's something that cannot be explained by it happened.
所以外邦就笑，哈哈。看以西结书就记着，哈哈，你们是神的百姓。
So Ezekiel, you see how the foreigners will laugh at the people of God.
他们羞辱百姓。
They put shame upon them.
也羞辱神的圣名。
And also disgrace the name of God.
为什么
？Why did that happen?
为什么他们主权丧失？被巴比伦称来沦落为附庸国。
They have lost their sovereignty and become slaves.
那为什么他们没有以为骄傲的可以依归的这样圣殿？
Now, why is it that they were able to return back to the temple?
所以你可以看他们，比如说诗篇一百三十七篇那里。
So sometimes you look at, for example,
他们在巴比伦河边啊。
When they were sitting by the river Babylon,
就哭起来。
They cried out loud.
比如说俘虏他们的巴比伦叫说：“你们唱西安歌吧。”
Because those who captured them told them to sing the hymn of Zion.
他说：“我们怎么可以在外邦唱起神的圣城的歌呢？”
So they were sad because how could they sing the holy Son of God?
耶路撒冷啊，耶路撒冷，这歌就唱出来，其实唱不出来。
So they cannot utter the words of Jerusalem.
所以他们这种亡国恨啊，没有办法用笔墨描写。
So you cannot really write down how much hatred they have in words.
The remorse
in words.
那这种不但是这个国家，是整个信仰的规模。
So this is not only the whole nation, but this is a reformation of their.
你没有圣经，你没有崇拜地方，你又被束缚，你又没有自由，你是怎么样掉眼泪都来不及。
Now today you don't have a Bible, you don't have religious freedom. Even your tears cannot describe how you will go through.
那你就会痛痛，就说在痛苦当中。一个痛定思定，那思痛。
Now in the middle of your remorse and bitterness, you will repent.
我们才有耶利米哀歌的这样的篇章出来。
Then there was the lamentation that was born.
那个哀歌就在检讨为什么圣城被神来毁灭。
In lamentations, you'll find out they examine themselves as to why the temple was destroyed.
那他们检讨的原因就是我们深深的犯罪，得罪了神呐。
And then they finally came to a realization that they have sinned deeply against God.
所以我们看到神的这样评论。
So you see the critique for God.
他说啊，我何时论到一邦一国？
He said, when did I judge upon the nation?
说要拔出拆毁毁坏。
And to uproot and destroy.
那我说的那一邦或那一国。
So the nation whom I spoken of earlier.
若是转意离开他们的恶。
If they turn away from their evil.
我就必也必后悔，这后悔不是做错后悔。我们翻译的问题，我会 relent， 我会改变主意了。
Then I will relent concerning.
那我就改变本来毁灭他们的原意，我就不毁灭他们。
Then I will change your mind originally destroying them.
因为他们离开他们的恶。
For they have departed from their sin.
所以从负面到正面。
So we can see that it goes from negative into a positive aspect.
那这个是有一个很明显的那个约拿书里头的尼尼微城做例子。
So from it, you can think about this clear example of the city of Nineveh.
本来耶利米这个尼尼微城的罪恶滔天了。
Now originally, these people of Nineveh, they have sinned so much
in relation to God. 为了毁灭他们以前，就叫约拿去传警告。
So before God destroyed the city, He sent Jonah to send a warning message.
约拿说了说，在四十天这个城就必倾覆。
So Jonah told them within 40 days the city will fall.
那城中的王啊，宗主啊的王啊，到的臣民。
So all the kings starting from himself into the rest of the people.
或甚至牛羊，他们都不让他们，他们都不让他们喝水。
They fasted and did not drink.
全体禁食。
Everyone fasted.
坐在灰中痛悔。
They start in ashes.
而且离弃他们，抛弃他们手中所做的恶。
And to get rid of all the sin they had.
所以你可以看出，在约拿书三章十节那里。
So in Book of Jonah, chapter 3 and 10, you will see.
你就说神观看尼尼微人，尼尼微城的人的作为。
Now originally, God look at what the Nineveh people have done.
看他们离开手中的恶。
And witness how they have departed from sin.
而且切切的真心祷告
悔改。And to truly pray and repented.
那么神就说，转意不将所要说的灾祸来降给他们。
Then he became relented and changed his mind of destroy.
所以这是有幸的国家。
So they become a fortunate nation.
就从负面到正面。
Which means they have turned from negative.
从那个倾覆要拆毁，到了神要建立栽植。
From being destroyed to be the stage of being rebuilt and planted.
所以你怎么说呢？
So、
我们怎么说呢？你说神要毁灭人，就毁灭到底吗？
Can you really say that once God made up his mind, he would destroy it all the way?
但是恶人悔改呢?
What about the repentance of an evil?
或者像这个城邦,尼尼微城能够弃绝手中的恶道呢?
What about city of Nineveh of once they forgot their sins?
神转意就改变他本来要毁灭他们的原旨。
God became relentant and changed his original
plan. 我们再说以色列犹大。
What about King of Judah?
或者今天的真耶稣教会。
And the Children's Church today.
我们要是没有很谨慎。
Today, if we're not careful.
那我们信仰就会变成就要躯壳的一个信仰。
Then our faith has become a formality.
我们就变成一个形式化、世俗化、机械化的信徒。
You become a shell and we become a robotic.
可是我们的没有改正行为啊。
Because we have not changed our
faith. 我们不断的在干犯神的诫命。
We continuously sin against his commandments.
我们还以为自由了，还以为平安了。
And for doing that, we feel we're safe and we're peaceful.
而会指着圣殿说：“这是神的圣殿，这是神的圣殿，这是神的圣殿。”
Point to the chapel, say, "This is the chapel of God."
三次就等于强调啊，是要强调，就说这是我们的，这是神的特殊的场所。
Three times, which emphasizes that we are really
我们所夸口的，我们自豪的地方的。
This is something we're proud of.
但是这个就是叫戒慎啊。
But that's also the time
神何时论到一邦、一国，甚至一个人。那这时候假定他不按照神的律法来行的话
Because every time when God spoke of a nation or a group of people or individual
那神就会回转说哇不祝福了不配我祝福了
And depends on what this individual has done God can change his mind and say I will no longer bless
那就用利用外邦的势力
And he will utilize the force of the foreigners
包括有形无形的
Whether it's something you can see or not
就把这个信仰工程拆毁
To destroy this work of faith
那就涣散那散涣
And it will be scattered.
那就意思就是说，已经再没有刚才所认为夸口的啊、哦，这是神的百姓，这是神的百姓。
What that means is one no longer has this full soul to be prideful of I'm the people of God.
或是这是属灵的，我是属灵的，我是属真的。
Or to proclaim and shout I am spiritual.
神是看内心，看人的心灵诚实。
Today God looks at your honesty in your heart.
当年以色列民犯了这样大的错误。
Back then, when the Israelites sinned against God,
这个错误仍可以在历史上重演着。
The same mistake plays over and over in history.
所以，当我们看先知信息的时候
，So when you look at the message of the prophets,
已经看到以色列当代犹大当代的那个意义。
You will find the meaning that was portrayed back in the Jewish time.
而且是指向着我们不超越时间空间的普遍的真理。
It is also the truth that will not change despite of time.
那我们从神的评注里头。
So if you look at the commentary of God,
就说神他的绝对自主权
which you will see his sovereignty.
他说要怜悯谁，拣选谁，他就怜悯谁，拣选谁。
He has the sole power to choose and have mercy on whoever he likes.
但是他所拣选的要是不配
but if the ones he chose is not worthy,
就好像亚伯兰的子孙
just like the descendants of Abraham,
他是照样被神丢弃，从外邦兴起亚伯兰的子孙。
History tells us they were forsaken and new history.New descendants were raised from the
从石头兴起亚伯兰的子孙
His descendants were raised from a rock
而不是从血肉的亚伯兰的后裔来兴起来
Not from his bloody descendant
所以这个给我们一个很大的反省
So that gives a great warning
神的绝对自主权
The sovereign power of God
他采取主动权、啊、
He takes the initial action
和我们英文讲得很好 Divine initiative
He takes the initiative
然后呢要看着人间这个他的选民的一个反应了。
Then he will observe the reaction from men.
比如说他来
For example, today we come.
他慈爱的呼唤。
We come because of his tender
love. 他要救人，要爱你。
He loves you. That's why he wants to save you.
但你有自主，你也有自由意志。
But of course, you and I have.
你可以说不了，我才不了，我要走开了。
You can choose not to come.
或者采取相反的方向。
Then you will react differently.
那我神就说，我给你一套法律。
Now God said, I have given you this set of rules.
那借着法律跟你来订立契约。
But through this rule, me and I make a
covenant. 像丈夫跟妻子戴上戒指婚约一样。
Just like we have made this vow in our marriage.
那这你就是要专一了。
That you need to be faithful.
要忠诚了。
Be faithful.
但没有想到你还抛媚眼，还勾引别人。
But I never thought that you will have an affair outside.
你不应该专一的爱真神。
Now you need to love your God.
因为他是你的主，你的生命主，你的拣选主。
He's your king and he's your God.
那不是没有想到去拜偶像拜巴利随从外邦恶神
Think about worshiping other Baal or other gods.
那神不会伤心吗
Won't your God be sad?
所以我们在圣经上一个字眼叫做神是忌邪的神
So one thing you see in the Bible that's emphasis over is our God and hates other idols.
忌邪的神 divine jealousy.
He's a jealousy God.
意思说他本来爱你，就选你做妻子。
For example, which means originally he loves you, that's why he chooses to be his spouse, would make a covenant.
那可以享受雨水和乐啊欢喜。
Then we can enjoy his peace and love.
但是没有想到去爱巴黎。
But let's unexpectedly love other idols and Baal.
去干犯神的律法。
We trespass the
commandments.
We have fallen short of his moral standards.
那怎么办呢？
So what happens next? Now you have broken this marriage vow.
那就所以说神就很悲伤，很记恨。
So he was sad and furious.
所以我们也看到忌邪的神，要从这样的了解，从婚姻性爱的这种观点来了解。
So our God is one that hates evil and is jealous. We need to understand this from the point of marriage.
那个一个希伯来发音叫卡纳，divine jealousy. 神不喜欢你去拜偶像，你要。 独一真神，专一的爱他，守他的诫命。
So the original Hebrew word kana, which means God is a divine jealousy God. We need to get away from evil and to love Him, worship Him.
所以那个原则今天还是适用的。
So the same principle applies today.
我们来看《申命记》啊。
Turn to Deuteronomy.
其实为什么叫《申命记》？
So why is it called Deuteronomy?
因为它包含着三部分。
Because it has three aspects.
从第一节，第一章一节。
From chapter 1 verse 1.
到4章43节。
Till 4:43.
是他第一部分。
That's the first segment.
就是在复习在民数记、出埃及记、民数记，尤其那些历史。
Which they recollect all the history that happened prior.
旷野行进的这样的漂泊的历史。
All this history of which they have traveled through the wilderness.
从四章四十节。
From chapter 14, verse 14.
到29章一节。
All the way till 29 verse 1.
这是第二大段。
This is the second segment.
有关在重新的申命神的诫命律例典章。
Which once again the commandments of God was reiterated to the people of God.
而且强调一点。
And one thing it was really emphasized.
就是说神的律例和典章诫命和神的福气要给大家。
It's the commandments of God and His blessings.
但是这不是说无条件的。
But of course, in order to receive all these, there will be circumstances.
简单说，神给你绝对自主权，也采动那主动权来给你拣选上的这个福气。
Because today God has taken an initial sovereign power to choose you.
但是你要怎么反应？
But what should your reaction be?
所以英文的另外第二个字就变成很重要的啊，第一个方面 ，human response.
So the human response became extremely important.
用什么心态，用什么作为来反应，来对应神。
How shall your heart and your response be?
就是信心跟顺服。
It's submission and faith.
就是说你要 faithfully obedience， 要信心的顺服。
So you need to be faithfully obedient.
那这样说来，福气就倾倒给你了。
So if you can do so, your blessings will arrive.
不但说可以进入这个迦南地，
Not only will enter into the land of Canaan.
而且凡事亨通。
Everything you do will be smooth.
日子长久。
Your days will be long.
而且在旧约圣经里头一个很重要的平安的契约，平安约。
Another peace covenant that was made in the Old Testament.
它是记载在利未记26章3节到13节那里。
It's recorded in Deuteronomy 20:26. Leviticus 26.
那这样说来，就是你可以有天上降下合宜的雨。
That being said, you will receive rain from heaven.
你可以有五谷丰收。
You will become abounding in your harvest.
你可以躺在葡萄架下，从但到别是巴，很安然的居住。
From all the way from Dan to Beersheba, you can lay and live in peace.
没有刀剑。
There will be no sword.
没有饥荒。
No famine.
没有这种瘟疫。
No pestilence.
没有恶兽。
And no hunger.
假定你这样的是安然居住。
So all this peace that
你就想到神的恩典如此滚滚而来。
It reminds you of how much grace God has poured out. Then you will be thankful.
你会谨慎。
You will be watchful.
那万一你要出去出征， 这在圣经称为神圣的战争。
Now whenever you need to go out and fight for the Lord.
A holy war.
Holy war.
这个圣战。
This is the holy
war. 那你五个人可以打100个人。
Now one of you can take on
100 enemies. 你100个人可以胜过10,000人。
One can overcome thousands.
那因为神跟你同在。
For the Lord is with you.
不但如此。
Not only so.
到头来。
On the other end.
神的会幕，神的帐幕要在人间，跟百姓同行。
The tabernacle and rod of God will be